In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
God. Brothers and sisters, today a poor woman whose body was altogether bowed down by an evil spirit is made straight and upright and glorifies God, her healer. And today, a hardened ruler of the synagogue, whose soul was altogether bowed down into the spiritual hard earth of his wicked insensibility, sees this miracle and rebukes the Son of God. We see this poor woman, who's described not just as hunchbacked, but bowed down in such a way that she could in no way raise herself up, with her face always set towards the earth, who was bound by Satan, not for a few days or a season, but for 18 long years. We see her courageous long suffering and her faith and her devotion to God without any impure motive. How? Because in spite of her condition, she was still coming to the synagogue to hear the law and to pray unto God and to glorify him. Today's gospel shows us two great wonders. One, a woman is set free from a demonic affliction that she suffered for many long years. And two, we see a hypocritical ruler of the synagogue, completely blinded by his spiritual delusion and his earthly-minded concerns, not just numb to this great miracle, but filled with indignation, bitter hatred and disgust. For whom? For God himself incarnate. What is the greater marvel? The healing which took place, or the blind hardness of heart, which remained unfeeling and grew wrathful even against such a miracle? St. Isaac of Syria writes, "Once an elder was asked, 'What is a merciful heart?' And he answered, 'It is a heart burning for the sake of the entire creation, for every created thing. And by remembering and seeing them, the eyes of the merciful man pour forth abundant tears. From the strong mercy which grips his heart, and from his great compassion, his heart is humbled, and he cannot bear to hear or to see any injury or slight sorrow in creation.'" I'm still quoting. "For this reason, he offers up tearful prayers continually, even for irrational beasts, for the enemies of the truth, for those who harm him, that they be protected and receive mercy because of the great compassion that burns without measure in his heart, in the likeness of God." Close quote. Christ points out that the ruler of the synagogue had more compassion for his own irrational beasts than for someone with a godlike human nature. He pretended to have zeal for the law, for keeping the Sabbath, for his holy traditions, but he is put to shame by the lawgiver, Christ, the living law. And his sin of neglecting the spiritual law was pointed out to all the people, and he was put to shame and could not answer back. We are not told that he and his companions ever came to repentance. We're simply left with the fiery and convicting words of his divine reproach and their personal value for us. Do they enter our heart? When we follow the outward rites of the church, the bows, the fasting, the set prayers, the veneration of icons, do we feel anything beyond the physical realm? Do we remember to whom we bow? He who is in heaven, surrounded by countless angels and saints. Do we kiss the holy icons of the Mother of God and the saints, while still speaking and acting rudely to our brothers and sisters who are living icons of Christ? Do we enter the church with presumption about what is right and indignation about who is wrong? Or do we enter in humility and repentance over our own sins? It is good and right to conform our outward lives to the forms of worship and the rites of the Holy Church. But it is a great sin to be proud and satisfied with this only, and never through faith in the enlightening power of God to raise our minds to what is unseen, to things above, and to conform our inner man with its archetype and model, Jesus Christ. When we see someone bowed down in agony of soul, or tormented by a corrupting disease, or downcast by many passions, or the heavy burden of a spiritual war, do we pass them by? The joy and peace that Christ gives to us are great gifts, but if they are not sacrificed in order to feel burning sympathy and to co-suffer with those who suffer, whether bodily or spiritually, then they are incomplete. For to suffer with those who suffer, St. Isaac insists, is a higher virtue, a higher good, because it imitates Christ himself, who left the great peace and the great joy of heaven in order to what? In order to suffer our earthly afflictions and to offer himself sacrificially for our sins and thus to effect our healing. Maybe we don't even notice the afflictions of others. Or maybe we do notice them, yet we subtly look down on them or quietly judge that they probably deserve it. Or maybe we're just outwardly disgusted or upset by their behavior or their sorrows, never entertaining the possibility in our own hearts that they might hate their sins far more than we do. Or again, maybe we're simply content to be at peace, to be healthy, even to be filled with spiritual joy, and yet we're not moved in the slightest by the pain of others. It's one thing to not notice others' suffering, but it's worse, of course, to notice and not to care. And even worse still is to notice and to feel repulsion. For to do so is to consider ourselves righteous and godly, like the man in the gospel today, and to be blinded by our own pride. Such was the ruler who is reproached by Christ in today's gospel. And such is each hardened heart which cannot feel another's sorrow or pain. If these things are found in us, then have we understood what it means that we are all one body in Christ? If we begin to consciously notice, to sympathize with, and to pray for others' pain and sorrow, then we're making a good beginning. And if we continue in this blessed practice, and it becomes a deeply rooted habit of virtue within our souls, then we are close to spiritual health. Yet to establish our hearts in compassion requires some spiritual labor, not only in sympathizing with others, but in reorienting our deep hearts. For a heart full of itself, full of its own ideas, of its own importance, ends in actions like those of the ruler of the synagogue. But a heart that is full of the Holy Spirit, full of the sweet name of Jesus Christ, is a heart full to breaking with compassion. Some of us might consider ourselves to be people of compassion, yet true compassion flows from abiding in Christ, for he is the source of all compassion. So, to be truly established as a compassionate person, it requires that we develop a real and a substantial spiritual life. We must bind our hearts to Christ's day by day, abiding before our icons, seeking him in the holy services, seeking and seeing his face in our neighbor until we are filled with his energy and his life. In other words, we don't become a better person by trying to become a better person. We become better people by running to Jesus Christ, by finding and pouring out our hearts before Him, and by clinging to Him with all our might. How long has it been since we've taken a look within ourselves and even found our deep hearts? Remember, the kingdom of God is in there. When we find our hearts and then offer them up to Christ and unite our hearts with Him, then we can enter into the hearts of others. After all, Christ is the hero in today's gospel, a hero of compassion. And God is love, and He upholds the whole of creation in existence, not simply by His power or by His justice. It is His mercy and His love which fill all things and uphold all things, and which seek to unite all things to Himself and through Him with one another. When that mercy fills us in the time of prayer, then we too are taken up into God, into His heart, and we partake within ourselves of heaven. And as Saint Isaac teaches, we then somehow come to embrace all the world and everyone in it with the merciful heart of God. We then feel ourselves part of one body with all creation, to say nothing of those in Christ's body itself, the church. Brothers and sisters, may Christ remove from us any stony insensibility and give us new hearts and fill them with mercy and love unto the healing of His creation and unto His eternal glory. Amen.